I remember those. So what I miss? If you have your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Such a familiar story. I don't know about you, but I have found the older I get, the more complicated celebration becomes. Celebration of Christmas is pretty simple, isn't it? What we're celebrating, this story, this is simple. Life is complicated. And it seems like the more life you live, the more complication comes in. The more things you experience, the more things you carry with you, the more things that are difficult to set down, the more stuff comes along with it. And it's less and less simple the further we go along. It's no longer just simply wide-eyed wonder and amazement. Now it's wide-eyed wonder, but it's also mixed with regrets, mixed with some heartbreak maybe, mixed with some sadness, mixed with some loneliness, mixed with some brokenness, mixed with what could have been, mixed with what isn't, mixed with all kinds of things. And before you know it, the candle, which was once this glorious flame of light, seems like it's just barely flickering. It's still there, and we still celebrate, and we still gather, and there's still beauty, and there's still wonder. But it's mixed together with all kinds of things. And I think that it gets so easy to miss Jesus. It gets so easy to miss this celebration. There's a lot that's been going on in the world lately, isn't there? I mean, if you still get the paper, couple of you. If you still watch the news on TV, a couple others. If you get all of your news on your smartphone, a few more, right? Like, it doesn't matter where you're getting your information from anymore. We're kind of bombarded with all of these things that are overwhelming, terrifying, unnerving, upsetting. What are some of the things that come to mind that have been going on in the world? Terrorism? Yeah. Syrian refugee crisis? Yeah. And civil war that's going along with it? ISIS? Anybody else? Presidential debates. Yes, indeed. 'Tis the season. We got a whole year to go, don't we? Well, we got forever to go. It never stops anymore, does it? Yeah. What else? Say it again. Police killings? Yeah. Yeah. Exactly right. Yeah. So maybe we could just say killings and shootings in general, but definitely involving police and relationships back and forth between law enforcement. Yeah. Yeah. What else has been in the news? I think in California, which one? They've had a couple lately. You had San Bernardino, which was a shooting, which was pretty scary. I don't know how many of you saw here just last week, or maybe it was just the week before, they closed all of the LA school districts because of a threat that came in, and the first time that's ever happened, that all the children... I lived in LA for 2 years. I can't even imagine what that was like. Because when you do that, not only do you have to bus a couple hundred thousand kids home, you got to get a few parents home from jobs and from other places to take care of the kids. You've got, this is a big thing. Yep. And when you're living in a city that's burned more than once, pretty unnerving. The threat of a bomb in an airplane. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Natural disasters. Yeah. The attacks on God and His Word. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Felt by many. So what are some of the solutions that are being presented? Build a wall. Yeah, exactly right. Build a wall. What else? Arm everybody. Arm no one. Yep. And yep. What else? New laws, yeah. Immigration reform, which again is, yeah, which is both. There's those who want to stop people from coming into the country, and there's other people who want to know welcome into the country. You have both sides of that going on. As, yeah, exactly. There's both. Yep. What else? Okay. Okay, so armed intervention in a lot of places. Yeah, and maybe this country teaming up with this country, allies, enemies. Yeah, all of that stuff going on. Absolutely. Yeah. There's been a lot of talk of lately, and this has been in the political debates, the bomb to oblivion has been some of the language that's been used. Yeah. So with all this stuff going on, all these different stories popping up, all these things that raise our anxiety, that raise our fear, that raise our uncertainty, that shake us and alarm us and make us reactive and feeling like something needs to be done, there's all of these different proposals on what we need to do, right? Do you stand up? How many of the solutions look like this? If they did, how many of us would believe that that's the solution? This story of Christmas is unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, unbelievable. Do you think the people in the world at that time felt that much differently than we feel today? You had a people group who lived under threat of violence most every day. You had people who at one time had what they felt was a voice and authority and power, and now they felt like they had no voice, no authority, no power. They distrusted their government. They oftentimes kind of did what they were told, but there wasn't a lot of prospects of hope. They were taxed to the hilt. They were really burdened. And God had promised them 400 years ago that He was going to deliver them. And these people are longing, looking, hoping for deliverance, for salvation, praying that God would come through. God always comes through, but God doesn't always come through on my schedule. The way God works and what God does, it doesn't always happen like that. And so these people are praying and longing. God, are you listening? Are you seeing? Are you watching? Deliver us. Save us. Do you think that this is what they were hoping for? Do you think that... That is where the promise is found. In this. What do all the solutions that we come up with for the problems we have, what do all of our solutions have in common? Regardless of which political end of the spectrum they come from, what do they all have in common? You said that right. They fail. But they're also bold, aren't they? Like every proposition that comes up, everything, it's this strong, we are going to solve this, we're going to fix it, whether it's arm everybody or arm nobody, whether it's welcome everybody or keep everybody out, whether it's whatever it is, it's this big, bold proclamation of what we are going to do and how it's going to solve the problem. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that we're called as followers of God to do nothing. But so often the something that we're trying to do is so far removed from the God we love and worship. It's so isolated and separated from the Savior whom we love and who loves us, who has redeemed us. This time of year, this Christmas celebration, we're celebrating a gift of love. God was not willing that any should perish. God has this desire that all should be restored. And God loved us so much that He gave His only Son. This gift of grace and mercy and hope that doesn't look like the solution we're looking for, that doesn't look like the answer to the questions we have. This Savior. It's so easy to miss Jesus in Christmas. It's all about Jesus, and yet it's so easy for us in this life where we find ourselves anxious, angry, fearful, to want our own solutions instead of God's. The story of Jesus' birth is quite something. Is God almighty? Is God all-knowing? Is God all-powerful? What options did God have for how to enter the world? Anything, right? Any way. God could do anything. And God chose to come into the world to unmarried teen parents in a very overcrowded city at a very busy time, in a stable among animals, with His first bed as a feeding trough, coming from a town which the Scriptures said nothing good could ever come from Nazareth. Right? That's how God chose to show up. This is what is going to fix things. This is what is going to bring peace. I love that that's what the angels sing. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth. Peace on earth. How many of us long for peace on earth? How many of us believe that God is capable of bringing us peace on earth? How many of us can trust God even when it doesn't look like God knows what God's doing? We find ourselves in very unsettled times. And yet, the God whom we worship is not dead, is alive. We celebrate His birthday. We celebrate the moment God came into the world. I think there's something for us to learn from how He chose to come. I think there's something for us to learn from who He is. And I think there's something for us to remember that He still lives and moves and speaks among us. This Savior who came from humble beginnings into a humble place, who lived a simple life, who showed us what a relationship with God was intended to look like, who lived, taught, saved, suffered, died, rose again, and lives and walks among us, is inviting you and me to remember in a new way how loved you are. That our response to everything around us is intended to flow from how much God loves us. That the responses we have to the things that go on around us, our responses are not to come from the things going on around us. Our responses are to come from the thing that has happened within us. That the God of all creation, the Lord of all that is, has drawn near to us, has come among us, has proclaimed His love for us, and has said, I am inviting you to something so much bigger than you. I love you so much, and I want you to be a part of this thing. We proclaim Jesus, yeah? What did Jesus proclaim? He didn't proclaim Jesus. What did Jesus proclaim? The kingdom of God. And what's the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is that where God's lordship, His rule and reign is recognized. That place where God's people say yes to God. In the Bible, there's this place where Jesus is asked, how are we to pray? Right? Which I tend to think is another way of asking, how do I get God on my side? Give me the formula. Like, what's the words? What makes God happy? Like, what's the right rhythm? What's the right thing? Like, how do I do it so that I get God to do what I want? Right? What's the right way to pray so that God will do what I'm asking for? Teach me how to pray. Jesus, come on, teach me. Like, what's the, you know God, come on. Like, what's the thing? Like, how do we do it? What's the rhythm? What does Jesus say? Father, who is in heaven, holy is your name. Hallowed be thy name. We're recognizing, God, you're among us, but you're also greater than us. Your name is above every name. Holy is your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. Yeah, that's nice, Jesus. No, but how do we get God to do what we want? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Give me in this moment what I need in this moment. God, give me what I need for now. Help me through this moment. Give me my daily bread. I'll come back to you tomorrow. Give me what I need in this moment. This invitation to be a part of what God is doing instead of God, expecting God to be a part of what I'm doing. Pretty humble, isn't it? Pretty simple. Doesn't need anything fancy. Doesn't need a palace. Doesn't need wealth. Doesn't need treasure. Needs a simple, humble, contrite heart that is prepared to receive the kind of love God's wanting to pour out. That's the answer to what is broken. That's God's solution. And from what I've seen, God's solutions are the only ones that work. So in a time when we find ourselves filled with anxiety, filled with worry, many of us filled with anger, lots and lots of hatred to go around, lots and lots of fear. What a perfect season to remember what we're responding to remember who we're loved by. And out of all the variables, all the things we can think about and dwell upon, when we find ourselves so occupied by what could be, by what's going to happen next, by all that could go wrong, may we not lose sight of what's right, of what's already here among us. You are loved, you are held, you are forgiven, and you are called to respond to this grace. You are called to be a conduit of this love. That God's kingdom, that God's rule and reign might be found among us, just as it is in heaven. And it began in a humble manger, in a lowly stable, in a small town, with a couple of teen parents overlooking some animals and some shepherds whom the angels told. This very simple beginning was the start of a revolution of a whole new way. of being God's children. May we be God's children. May we not be blinded by what we expect to see, and instead have eyes to see what God is doing. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, you have loved us so completely. But just like the people of old, we are broken, we are fallen, and so often we fail to see you and what you are doing. We're looking for answers, but we struggle to understand how you are moving. We're looking for hope, but we expect to find it in certain ways and in certain places. So often, God, we fail to see who you are and what you're doing. This simple salvation, this total love that you have for us in Jesus. And so, God, we ask that you would free us. That you would free us from the fear and anxiety that wants to overwhelm us. That you would free us from the worry of what may come tomorrow, and instead help us, O God, to embrace you fully today. Be Lord of us. You are our King. You are our Savior. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us. Help us to walk in your will. Delight in your ways. We thank you. We praise you. We love you. In Jesus' name.